and welcome to A Link to the Cast on your MP3 player. This is the UK's brand new podcast talking about all things from the world of video games. This is episode 5B, and guess what? It's a Mario Kart special. But first of all, we must begin with a national pandemic swine flu update, because over the course of the last probably 6 weeks now, myself, Rick, and Brian have all had the dreaded pig flu. Let's have a symptom check. Rick, let's start with you. Sore throat?
Oh, undoubtedly, yes.
Fatigue?
Yeah, I must have spent a good 30 hours pretty much sat still. It was horrid, absolutely horrible.
What about the chronic diarrhea?
I wouldn't say chronic. There was diarrhea. It wasn't chronic. I would like to stress that. I did have immense headaches for like about 3 days and a temperature of about 39.5 degrees, which was just horrible when you get like that sweat.
If I can leap in there and top that, I had a temperature of 39.6.
Yours is unverified.
So eat that, Rick.
I've not seen anybody who actually took your temperature report the same. I think you're just measuring it and bigging it up, man.
Well, no, it's absolutely true. 39.6. Even the woman, when I rang up to get my tummy flu, went, oh, gosh. So that was really bad.
40 degrees is death.
I, unlike you, didn't suffer any explosions. I remain quite solid throughout.
Good.
But it was horrendous. The headache was the worst thing. The headache just would not go away. Mm. And just the fact that even when I thought I was getting better, like, I'd get up and do something, and then I'd have to go and lie down for half an hour. So it wasn't a whole load of fun. Got a lot of films watched, though. It was great. Under a duvet.
I got to the point where, after the first night, where I just couldn't sleep, and I just ended up sat in the living room all the next day and couldn't do anything. I sat in front of the TV. I didn't want it on. I sat with all the books around me. I couldn't read them because my head was just banging that much. I was just so bored and so annoyed. Absolutely awful.
Well, do you want to hear my tale of woe?
Go on.
Well, didn't you have a disgustingly simplified version of it?
Yeah, I had what I was told was a very mild form of swine flu. I basically had a sore throat for like a week and a half.
Well, I still got my sore throat now from my swine flu.
Yeah, I still feel a little bit like I've got a little bit of a frog in mine, but I felt very, like, my legs were really heavy, and I felt really rough for two, three weeks. Anyway, I kept taking ibuprofen, and then about 2 weeks in, I thought, this isn't helping me. My throat's feeling really bad. So I went to the docs, and he went, what have you been taking? I said, ibuprofen. They said, yeah, you've shot all your stomach lining, your throat. You need to be on antacid. So I'm now on drugs to get me over the drugs I was taking to try and get me over the mild form of swine flu. So that's the reason, basically, we've not had a podcast for the past 6 weeks, because we've all been in various states of illness, either in the bedroom, on the sofa, or in Rick's case, in the bathroom.
Yeah. Mick, you've been suffering in the bedroom there, haven't you?
About 6 weeks ago, it feels like an absolute lifetime ago, Brian Shelf suggested that we should talk through Mario Kart. I can't even remember why. It was that long ago. But we thought, you know what? It's probably now worth looking back at some of the sort of pics of the Mario Kart... what's the word?
Franchise.
Over the last, it must be 15, 20 years now. Mm. Pick out maybe some of our highlights, the things that we like about the series, the reason that it's been such a success. But also maybe some of the things we don't like, and maybe if it will ever be as good as that SNES original. And Brian Shelf, I want to sort of throw it over to you to start with, because you're the elder statesman, it's fair to say. And you've been playing this from day one. I only appeared on the scene Mario Kart wise for Mario Kart 64. So a lot of this that I hear about the SNES version is in the annals of history for me. Well, so bring it right up to date.
Even I wasn't day one. I think it came out in about 91, 92, something like that. And I remember the ads on the telly, but I wasn't even a big game player at that point in time. Or I'd sort of got rid of my Spectrum and never moved on to anything new. And then just one day came to trade a whole load of games in and thought, oh, Mario Kart. Yeah, I really liked Super Mario World. And that was it. That was about 2 years of my life at university gone. Pretty much all day, every day, whenever we got the chance. That was what would happen. The SNES would come out and we would play Mario Kart all day long. It was just simply the single most addictive game imaginable. Then the N64 came out and Mario Kart 64 came out. Essentially, Mario Kart is now probably as big or even a bigger title than the actual Mario games.
Mm. It is Mario Kart Wii has outsold Mario Galaxy, which is the sort of modern equivalent.
In fact, it's the number one Wii game which doesn't have the word Wii in the title. So, you know, you've got your Wii Sport and your Wii Fit and your Wii Play, and then it's Mario Kart right there. So it is like the number one selling actual game, as it were.
Has it sold more copies than Carnival Games?
I think you could say yes. I think you could say it sold more copies in the first weekend than Carnival Games is ever destined to sell.
Well, I don't know, because they sell Carnival Games for about 50p now. So, and everyone's talking, oh, I've got a brilliant... Oh, no, it's dreadful. That's about it. That's the history of it. And what?
That's
what
the history. There was a game. You're not quite sure when it came out, but you played it for a bit, and then that's the history of the game.
You played it all day for a few days.
What about the arcade modes? You know, the handheld versions?
How many different versions are there now of it? Let me see if I can do these off the top of my head. There was Super Mario Kart. There was Mario Kart 64. Yep. There was on the Advanced Super Circuit. Then for the GameCube, there was Double Dash.
Yep.
Then there was Mario Kart DS on the DS, and then there was Mario Kart Wii.
So yeah, there was also Mario Kart GP and GP2 on arcade, where you could also play it on Pac-Man. I think there were two versions of that. So I think that, does that make nine?
Yeah. I don't know.
I thought there was another. Wasn't there another DS one or another Game Boy one out?
No, that was Super Circuit on the Advance.
Yeah, but I thought there was a second one as well for the same platform. I can't.
Oh,
remember.
You're talking crazy! Get out of here. He's bonkers.
The thing is, what was sort of revolutionary about it is it was sort of the first game that it was kind of like Micro Machines in a way that it was a racing game that was more about the fun than actually being all about cars and specs and changing your gear ratios and, you know, all that sort of gubbins and having realistic tracks. It was more about just intensive racing action, just making it fun.
Mm. I mean, when it came out, presumably its main rivals, now I would have only been sort of 9-10 years age at this, but we would have been talking Outrun.
Just fun arcade-y kind of racing game.
I think the thing with Mario Kart is the simplicity of it, and it's that sheer multiplayer enjoyment, but also the fact that it's got sort of longevity from a single-player point of view. I can still pick up pretty much most versions of Mario Kart. I've just recently started playing Mario Kart DS again, and I can still play it as a one-player, from a one-player point of view. I think it's great. I think certainly with the more modern version, we're online now, it's the same with DS. You can play it versus people from around the world. That gives it definitely an added element.
Well, this is it. Mario Kart, I don't play it single player at all anymore. I just don't find it as interesting as real people.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I'm going to disagree with you massively on the single player thing. I think the single player has always been the weakest strand. And for example, Mario Kart 64, more on which later when we discuss which is the best and which isn't, the single player version in that was finishable in about a day and a half.
Yeah, I was going to say exactly that. You just sort of whipped through it.
And there was absolutely no fun. I think this is the only time on the Wii that they've actually got the single player sorted out, is the fact that you are going online and it's not single player. Yeah. Because, you know, it tends to suffer far too much from either being incredibly easy or just having the CPU cars cheat and just beat you on the line.
But I'm talking here as well about your time trials. I'm talking about your ghost racing. I'm talking about shaving microseconds off your lap times. For me, that gives the game a real... I think you can be playing that for months and months and months.
That was one of the sort of groundbreaking features for Mario Kart when it came out on the 64, the fact that you could have your own ghost racing, you know, for your time trials. But the thing is, you needed one of those game packs, what are they called?
The controller packs.
And like one lap. Yeah, exactly. It would take the whole controller pack's removable memory.
For the real geek here, the SNES, of course, had ghosts in it as well. But quite what triggered them off was particularly hard to fathom. But occasionally, if you did a really good lap time, if you beat one of the preset lap times in it, a ghost would appear on the course with you. And then on certain courses, there were staff ghosts.
As well.
But it's very much a hidden feature on the SNES thing. And then they made a big deal of it on the N64. But then, of course, if you fell off the track, it immediately made it impossible to save your ghost.
Redundant.
The ghost feature really. I suppose the ghost feature is really coming to its own on the Wii.
When you can watch how your mates have been doing that lap and just see just exactly where they're getting those, you know, half a second on you or whatever.
So you do play it as a single player.
Well, you're playing against your buddy's ghost. I know he's not right there, but it's only because of the multiplayer interaction of it that
it's the modern version of the single player.
Yeah.
So I'm right. So we'll just agree that I was right on that section. Right. Super Mario Kart. Brian Shelf, you're the only one who played it properly.
It was
great.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. Some of the differences and some of the things which I think are tragically lacking from the later games. First thing was it was particularly weird. It was designed to not to show off, but using the Mode 7 graphics of the SNES, which was a chip that actually came in the cartridge, which meant you could do sort of 3D graphics. It wasn't. It was a very clever, fancy way of throwing sprites around to make them look 3D. But the weird thing about it was you kind of weren't steering the cart. What you were doing was steering the track underneath the cart, which was a sort of unique feel. And it made it sort of very easy to get tight in round corners. You know, you could constantly be, you know, working out your best line around the course. You could be very technical about stuff. There were certain other features that weren't there anymore. Weapons, only you, and if you're playing as a two-player, only you and the other player could use the weapons. The other characters didn't use weapons. They all had one weapon each, which was, say, like Donkey Kong would drop bananas behind him. Peach would drop little cakes that you would then run into, and they would miniaturise you in the same as Lightning. The weapons play was a lot more limited, because once there was only one place on each course where you could collect a weapon, and once that box had been collected, it had gone for good. So you had to be a lot more tactical with your weapons. You would end up sometimes saving a red shell for three or four laps before you finally used it. Of course, the courses were shorter. There were five laps, so it often meant that there was a lot more play between it. There were lots more shortcuts, little places where you would get a thing called the feather, which you don't get anymore, where you could actually, if you wanted to be really risky, go over a really slim part of the course and leap and cut half the course out. But if you messed it up, that was it. You'd be screwed. But it was just amazing. Words can't express how much fun was had on it.
Put the stipulation in there that these were absolutely groundbreaking things back in the early 90s, to have shortcuts or you know, little cheat ways, which weren't cheats, like you're saying, about skipping chunks of the circuit because you got the power-up that would allow you to do it. There was no other game there that would let you do that.
What I find interesting about Super Mario Kart is it's never been released as a virtual console title.
Right.
Yeah, it's a very good point. Don't know why.
I wonder why that is, and I wonder whether or not there's that GoldenEye effect where you go back and play it and actually it wasn't so great. Let's move on to Mario Kart 64. Now, the thing that used to really annoy me about one of the characters in Mario Kart 64... Now, actually, I actually really like Mario Kart 64 because it was the first one that I really played. I thought it worked well with the control. Yoshi was the most annoying character. He used to have this sound effect, which has continued. It's like, he's supposed to be a dinosaur. What is that? Pew, 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 pew. It's the most annoying thing in the world. Yeah. What is the noise?
I don't even think I could try.
Princess Peach used to go Peachy, and there was Wario was brilliant.
Mario be like, let's go.
I thought actually those were really good. There were some absolutely brilliant tracks on the 64 as well. There was a couple of stinkers on the Calamari Desert when the train came, and there was nothing but the train. That was it. Flat and boring.
I'm going to disagree with you there, because I'm sure I've spoken about it before, but my hatred of Mario Kart 64 stems entirely from the fact there's terrible tracks on it. Let me list them for you.
Go on.
Moo Moo Farm, terrible.
Oh,
Calamari
awesome.
Desert.
Calamari
terrible.
Desert, terrible.
Toad's Turnpike,
terrible.
Terrible. Sherbet Land, terrible.
No, Sherbet Land with the big penguins.
Yeah, Yoshi Valley. Yoshi Valley was
one of the most... That was easily the worst track on it.
Terrible. Wario Stadium. Terrible.
No, Wario Stadium, that was too long, but it was all right.
Way too long. Rainbow Road, the single worst course on that that's ever existed in any single
Mario. But you remember it, don't you?
3 minute laps.
Oh my God, it's absolutely massive. It's easy to fall off the sides as well.
No, it was, but that was the thing. It wasn't easy to fall off the side. Because from Rainbow Road in the snares, that was an absolute killer of a technical course. There were no sides on it. You had to be absolutely...
Aren't there sections of the Rainbow Road where they dropped the... They dropped the walls as well.
No, or not that I can remember. I think it started off
nice and wide, but it got thinner, and then they lost the walls, and then there were the jumps.
I think you're getting confused with the GameCube version.
I think you're getting blinded by your hatred.
Yeah.
No,
you're just getting red mist.
I only very recently played Mario 64.
There
you go.
How did you play it?
I played it on the virtual console.
And how did you go about getting hold of that?
How did I go about getting it? I downloaded it.
Oh, right, the game you hated, you didn't like. You still paid out money to play it again.
To appease someone else who wanted to play it, I paid out £7 to make someone else happy, Mick. I know that's something that maybe doesn't fit with your view, your world view. Spending your money to make someone else happy.
Charity starts at home. Okay, so Mario Kart 64. Good points, Ricardo.
For me, I thought it was like it was part of the golden age of multiplayer gaming for Nintendo. It was there with GoldenEye, with Bomberman. It was one of the titles that made you go around a mate's house some of your other buddies and just sit and play Nintendo all day.
Well, it was the four player aspect of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, which was a big selling point on the N64. I mean, you could get a lot of people round.
Yeah.
You know, playing.
And that's precisely what I meant by the golden age. The N64 had all of those four player multiplayer games simultaneous, and it was just like you had so much choice when you sat around with your buddies. You could play it all day. Other things, I actually quite like the Rainbow Road. I know it's a nasty, tricky, long, painful circuit at times, but it gave you a good racing platform if you were there with your buddies. And I still like the Moo Moo Farm. I'm sorry, I don't know why.
I thought Sherbetland. I think that stands up now on the Wii version.
It's a tricky course. I don't like the Calamari Desert, like we were talking about before, because you've got the massive sand pits that just drag you in. And that they were actually quite tricky to avoid
the
when there was
one.
Four of you actually trying to race at
the
same time.
The worst one was the one which theme tune goes... Da, 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 at Choco Mountain.
Oh, dear.
Absolutely dreadful. And that was actually reincarnated as part of the DS version. And that was rubbish.
The worst, worst, worst course is Yoshi Valley with all the different routes through it.
None of which are the best route to take.
No, and it never tells you who's in the lead all the way through as well.
Just gets confused all the way.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
then you get run over by that giant egg. This on the bit just before the last straight.
Dreadful. I don't. What Did happened? You... What the problem with it was because it was suddenly 3D and they had true 3D and they had a lot more dimensions. Is they ended up making the tracks too wide and there was no real sense on any of them that you really had to do a quick sharp turn here and slide into that and then quickly change halfway around the corner to slide the other way. There was just it was just too big and too free roaming and like I say as well the one player was terrible.
I think they widened the tracks to try and accommodate for more of the battling aspect. They've just thrown all these extra weapons in there. You know, you were saying about the fact that the weaponry in the first, or in Super Mario Kart, it just was very limited. It was only really a multiplayer thing. But when you've got four people on screen and you've got all those extra item boxes and everybody's fighting for it, you need that extra space. Otherwise, all of a sudden, you're in the sand and you're last again.
But many of the weapons on it, I thought, were badly balanced as well. The mushrooms didn't seem to be give you quite as much an advantage as they used to. They used
golden
to really
mushrooms.
Fire you off. The golden mushrooms were okay, but a bit of a pain.
It had a balancing system for these, though, didn't it? It would only give you like that golden mushroom if you're in the last half of the pack. If you're at the front, you tend to get green shells because you could throw them backwards, but they're pretty useless. Really.
I sense we could talk all day about Mario Kart 64 on its own. I think Nintendo realised that they divided a lot of people with that game and thought, you know what, when we do the new game, we'll do it slightly differently. And I'm talking from a console point of view about Double Dash, which had the double element. Now, for me, the double element for the GameCube, I thought it handled great. I thought it looked great. The double element had no impact for me on the playability at all. The fact there was two characters on board
just
that annoyed slightly
me.
Different that you could throw eggs and do that. There was nothing extra for me
in the extra
double element.
Yeah, there was the extra character specific weapons that you might get from the weapon packs, and it would depend on who you had in the driver's seat and who you had on the back you'd get. And
that's where
so
you could
confusing.
Have The clever skills were for me on that, and it was the only advantage to it. Is if you had what you would be able to do is swap seats, so you could actually carry two weapons at any point in time. But I think Double Dash gets a really, really bad press because I think in comparison to Mario Kart 64, I thought the courses were a lot better, and I thought it was a lot more controllable.
What is the course with the big the dog circle thing? What was he called?
The Chain Chomp.
Yeah, the Chain Chomp. What is that Chain Chomp course? Because that is one course that does always stick with me about Double Dash. But the rest of it, couldn't give it.
Just put it back on Mario Circuit.
Yeah? There you go. That was brilliant. Just
the big dog
around.
Circle thing.
Yeah, man. I couldn't remember him. Chain Chomp. how else would you describe him?
Yeah, I think
he's a big barking dog in the shape of a sphere.
He does bark.
Sphere.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah. Oh, right, sorry, I didn't say spherical dog thing. Sorry. Sorry, Brian.
I love
pedant.
I love the way
Christ.
It's the fact that if you had a plant pot and it barks, it will be a dog. That Chain Chomp it's not a dog in any way, but it barks.
But is that not what it's meant to be? I mean, it pulls you around on its lead if you get it as a weapon. It's just barking all the time.
It's a big black ball.
And what does it do?
It barks. And yeah,
all right, so
a
big barking black ball, brilliant.
Yeah.
It barks.
Spur
like,
of the moment it, description's over with, right?
It barks like a
what
dog.
What's that laugh?
Just because something...
Oh, Rick's this has all gone to now.
Oh, no! Rick's all got all upset.
Yeah, man. I'm not having this.
I hope we bleep that. I really hope we bleep that bit. Okay.
As if you wouldn't.
Mario Kart, there was a Double Dash, I think, was actually great. And actually, me and Brian were actually living together around the time it came out. We played this. The 16 tracker that you could do was like a solid sort of 35 through to 45 minutes worth of gaming. That was just brilliant. I think there were so many great moments in that. I sort of came into this sort of slagging off Double Dash, saying that the double element didn't really offer that much. Overall, I thought it played really, really well. I thought the tracks on it were good. I thought the characters... Yeah, great. They look like what they were supposed to look like. It corrected, for me, all the faults that Mario Kart 64 had. It still played well as a multiplayer. There was very little lag in terms of when you were playing four-player on a tiny screen. I thought it was a great game overall. Very happy with it. I would probably say that's my second favourite incarnation of it.
Well, I agree there totally. There weren't many slack courses. There were a couple, but I can't think off the top of my head. Rainbow Road, thankfully, as well, had gone back to being actually quite tricky. There was some absolutely super buzz on there. Wario Coliseum
brilliant.
Was excellent. Peach Beach, or was it Baby Park or something, where it was just that really simple. 8 laps of a very simple course, or 7 laps of a very simple, loop.
Yeah, exactly.
Two
U-turns, and that
And it had possibly one of the greatest courses of all time, Yoshi Circuit. It was just the circuit was just Yoshi.
In the shape of Yoshi.
And you drove around the outside.
Yeah.
And there were so many twists and turns. There were boosts in certain places. There were jumps in certain places. Technically, you could get around that course. If you just did it straightforward, it'd be 3 minutes. But actually, if you knew all the turns, you'd be talking like 1 minute 45
or something. I think we're all talking through the rose-tinted glasses here. You guys obviously spent lots of time playing this together. And, you know, you enjoyed it.
No.
But I'm just saying that everything you're saying about this is what I feel for Mario Kart 64. For me, like I said before, it was the golden age. It was a time when you just spent playing it with your mates, and you made those moments. You actually made those moments with that game. And I didn't have that experience maybe with Double Dash. I just felt it was a bit too overly complicated with the two, you know, having two characters on a kart anytime and switching them. There were some good things, like you were saying about big black ball circuit or whatever, and having to try and cut around the back of him. But other than that, I just didn't really feel for it. I just didn't.
Okay,
didn't take
let's
it.
Stay with the consoles. Let's go for Mario Kart Wii. Both Brian and I booked the day off work the day that was released,
and we played
it.
That makes me sound so sad.
Yes. Well, it was quite. To be fair, it was 8 hours well spent. The Wii Wheel, I think it's great. I know, Brian, you now play with the nunchuck and the Wiimote. The Wii Wheel for me works really well. I think the courses are great. I think the fact that there are a couple of courses which aren't great is negated by the fact there are 32 to choose from. Mm. I think the online mode is absolutely spectacular. There's very little lag, very few problems. If you can go on there now, what we a year and a half after the game was released, still get on to 12 people online. I thought the weapons, that's the one thing that maybe is a bit of a problem for me. You can be coming first, and within a space of two turns, you can actually come last. The catch-up mode, I think, is too
forgiving
too,
for those people behind.
It's too sensitive. I think it's fallen into that weed trap where they think, well, if there are people playing who aren't that great. It's got, for instance, the Bullet Bill.
Just to translate for Rick, Bullet Bill is that big black bangy tube thing.
All right, okay, so we've got the big black ball and the big black bangy tube thing. Is that what you want to go with? That your definition's there? Brilliant.
Which was introduced on the DS, where you're right at the back, you fire the Bullet Bill, you turn into Bullet Bill, you shoot to a third, fourth place. There are a couple of things in there which I think maybe not so great. I think overall, though, with the online experience, which is absolutely superb, I'd love to have had, though, the opportunity to do microphone voice sessions, Wii Speak style. I think that would have been brilliant. I think the courses are great. There are 32, 16 new ones.
Yeah.
16
old school ones. I think the picks of the old school are absolutely brilliant. It's got as well, I think, three different versions of Bowser's Castle, which without doubt for me is, if you look at each different game, but the Bowser's Castle track is always pretty much up there, one of the top two.
Yes, it's always a tricky circuit. I think you got a good few points there, but the thing I don't like about the Wii, and it comes back to simplicity, that Mario Kart was always a brilliantly simple game, but then they try and introduce new things, and like the bikes, I just don't think
I hate the bikes.
Yeah, exactly.
The
bikes, it's not Mario Kart. I know the you bikes, like them.
The bikes,
Brian,
are by far the best. They're really good, really tight around the corners. You can get a little
But it's
boost.
Not Mario Kart.
By the way,
for
just
that reason, exactly. There's no power sliding. There's no.
But yeah, no. The Wii version. I mean, I love it. It's still, you know, I haven't played the SNES version for ages, so I can't possibly say. But I mean, it's the one I think. I don't know. It's hard to say. Every single one I've played a lot of, and I've got fond memories of all, apart from the N64. But I mean, I'm still now getting good use of the online play out of it. It's just amazing. It's so simple. The only thing that it could really do with is, now that Wii Speak is out, some kind of patch or something, so you could actually talk to people that you're playing with.
Yeah, that's the one thing. That's the one thing they're missing. The only thing that I found annoying about it, and I thought, you know what, when it came out, I thought this is going to be brilliant. You can play as your Mii, but what they've done, they've given the Mii's the most annoying voice in the world. If you're a bloke, you have this voice, and I'll try and do the impression of it. It goes, "Hey," and it's the most annoying thing. "Hey," and he's like, "Who talks like that?" And I think it's the boys and the girls both have the same voice. It's really quite annoying. And I thought, Mii's great. You're part of the Mario Kart Kingdom, but actually they've given them a voice. They shouldn't have done that. "Hey," it's really annoying. Okay, so it's a link to the cast. It's episode 5B. We're talking about Mario Kart and all its various guises. A great series has spanned sort of more than, well, nearly 20 years, we think now. If only Brian Shelf had done his research, then we might have known that fact or not. Handheld versions, two that we probably should talk about. Super Circuit, Brian Shelf, I know you're a big player of that. And also the DS mode. The DS version sold by the millions, massively sold. Some absolutely fantastic tracks on there. I'm going to pick out Tick Tock Clock.
Oh, very good.
Which I thought was absolute genius. And I think as well, the fact that it was online, you could play it with people who also didn't have the cartridge.
Oh, that was amazing.
You do the game share, but not online, yeah. But you could play it online as well. Yeah, so you could do, you know, share the game over a Wi-Fi sort of connection within the room.
Yeah,
absolutely. But I thought the actual online play worked really well as well. You know, it's the first Mario Kart to go online, and they actually did it surprisingly well. I've had many a good race. Maybe it's, again, because I only really raced against my actual mates over the wireless connection. Can you do it against just randoms?
I had an amazing... Exactly. One night during insomnia, I just flicked my DS on and ended up playing about four or five
hundred
Grand Prix.
Tracks.
No, about four or five Grand Prix with one kid in Japan. I've got no idea what his name is because it's just a symbol. And I think we drew the first four, so four lots of four tracks, and we won one each, won two each, and lost two each. And then in the final and the fifth one, I beat him 3-1. And then as soon as that the Grand Prix was over, I switched it off, and I thought,
"There
you go,
went
not
to cry."
And it's very strange. It's just, you know, so there was a very strange electronic bond between me and a complete stranger, and that's not the sort of thing you can get over the internet without having to hand over your credit card details.
We're very tight on time, but we're talking about Mario Kart, and this is a link to the cast. Thanks for joining us today. Super Circuit, yeah, it was great. People said it was a return to form. Brian Shelf, you played it a lot. Can you do it in 10 seconds?
No, you can't. It took me several months to do it. It was very, very tricky. No, it was good. There was lots of good courses. It went back to coin collecting as well.
Now, you see, 10 seconds is up. You tried to be clever. You tried to throw in a joke in there, but now you use the 10 seconds that I allotted. If you had one weapon in Mario Kart that you could use, and you only ever picked that up when you got a box, what would that one weapon be? Rick's looking slightly blank at the moment.
My bomb. Is that the technical term? I don't know.
Is that the black blowy uppy thing?
Yeah, I think it's a sphere as well, actually.
You'd pick a bomb.
A bomb.
Oh, really? Yeah. Brian Shelf.
I quite like it.
What would you go for?
No, it's not.
Can I have as one weapon the three red shells?
Three red shells, that's mine.
Well, yeah, that's
there's no
the
competition
best.
There, though, is there? The bomb I like is because it's kind of almost an interactive hazard. You get like 2 seconds if you're ahead of the guy who's using it to then try and counter your, you know, counter the weapon by steering around it and stuff. I think there's a little bit of a technique to it. I think it's a bit
Mick,
fun.
Mick, can I reveal one, or can we reveal one of the secrets that a slight minor problem you have with the weapons on?
Kart. I'm colorblind, so I can't tell the difference between a green shell and a red shell.
And does your girlfriend use this to her advantage at any point in time?
Really?
So if I'm driving along, particularly even if I'm
playing
playing single player online and she's supposed to be watching me, you know, supporting me, and I'll be like, come in second, and I'm going around the last corner, and I've got, is that a green shell or a red shell? It's a red shell, fire it. Oh, it just goes straight into the wall. She's
that's
terrible.
That's a bang out of line.
There are a few other tricks that I have about Mario Kart. For instance, the song that I sing at the end of the this is double dash game, you know, you can actually make your own words to it, and Brian Shelf knows exactly what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
I'm not going to say anything about it. Yeah.
But it speaks of some unspeakable act upon an animal, doesn't it? it does a mixed version. A friend of mine sings Come Dancing to it, so there you go.
Come Dancing, that one.
Yeah.
I'm just confused here.
And my final thing is, who's your Mario Kart character of choice? And we're not including those two characters on Double Dash.
Toad? Yeah, old school.
To me, our proper old school on the SNES, it's Koopa Troopa.
Oh, nice.
And is nobody going for a pew, 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 pew?
No.
Yoshi, no. I'm always a Mario bloke.
And I'm boring. Vanilla.
Oh, I do like vanilla.
You tell me off though when we play it for on the Wii, because I pick Funky Kong.
Oh, I hate Funky Kong. Funky Kong is the worst character in the history. He's like, who's this? It's Funky Kong. It's Donkey Kong's funkier brother. What do you mean he's funky? Well, he wears a vest, shorts, and sunglasses. Oh, that makes him funky, does it? The only funk coming off him is the stench of terribleness.
Yeah, but he's the best character, particularly on a bike.
Why are you saying he's the best cat? He's not.
He just likes to see the rage in your eyes when he beats you with it. That's all it is.
Funky Konged
all over you.
He's weighty, he's big, he's good on the corners. That's all you want out of a character.
But even better than that, he's funky. He's got a bandana. Yeah. That was A Link to the Cast, Episode 5B, Mario Kart Special. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back in, well, it'll be about a week's time, actually, with a brand new podcast. It'll have news, it'll have reviews. I'm going to be reviewing exclusively to the three of you who are sitting near me now, Wii Sports Resort.
Oh, good stuff.
Which I've been enjoying, but I'll reveal all in about a week's time.
Well, I've got two down. I've got two DLC games to review, which have overtaken my life at the moment. On the Wii, which is Bit Trip Beat and Monkey Island Tales Chapter 1.
Oh, is that out?
Yeah, yeah, got it.
Oh, sweet.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'd wait off on that a minute, mate. I'll fill you in.
And Ricardo?
I've been playing. I wasn't lying when I said last time in the last cast I might import something from America or Japan. I've been playing Blaze Blue, which is a traditional 2D beat 'em up, trying to get that beat 'em up fix after I was a little bit annoyed with Street Fighter 4.
Excellent. I understand you're going to have an exclusive interview as well.
I think we will be talking to Chris Hoy. None other. Oh, am I allowed to reveal that now? Yeah. I've just done it. Anyway, yeah, the Olympian, the gold medal winner.
The triple gold medal winner.
Triple gold medal winner. Yeah,
the greatest Olympian of all time.
Yeah, from England.
A Scottish. Yeah, so do your research before you speak to him there, Rick. Thanks for joining us. We'll be with you very soon.
I decided not to take the mick out of Rick. Let's check this out. Have you ever heard anyone doing this, Mick? Rick fainted while lying down.
This is actually true. This is actually true.
That's amazing. You recorded this.
Right. Oh, we might slip that in.
Do you want to know why? I can't even believe it. It's ridiculous. Yeah, well, I am notoriously poor at giving blood. On like four occasions, I've attempted to give blood, and the fourth, it culminated in me being on a blood donation bed, lying down, and they're trying to get me to work my veins, or whatever. So I'm laying there, and it's been like 20 minutes, and with this needle in my arm, I'm just frustratingly working this ball in my arm, and they just say, "Come on, you can do it." And next thing I know, I've fainted, and there's guys running over, according to Anna at least. "We've got a fainter." I wake up, and there's like a cardboard tray under my chin. It's just unbelievable. They got like, I don't know, half a pint of blood out of my arm. It's so rubbish.
Good work.
Yeah, thanks.
Right, bye.
Bye.
Ciao.
Bye.